So, Dr. Grothy, much has been made about your registry study, the BRIGHT study that Alan just referred to, and the difference in the findings there compared to this TML study. Could you review what you saw there, why it was different, and why you think it was different?
I mean, the registry or the observation cohort study, BRIGHT, in later areas, we had actually two studies like that in the U.S., it was never meant to kind of set a standard of care. It's not a randomized comparison of treatment effects, et cetera. What we did, we kind of tried to observe the treatment pattern of practicing oncologists in the United States. And in BRIGHT, we kind of followed almost 2,000 patients who all received first-line chemotherapy plus bevacizumab. And upon progression, physicians decided whether to continue bevacizumab beyond progression or not. And the patient who had bevacizumab beyond progression had a long overall survival, about 32 months median, compared to patients who did not have bev beyond progression, which was about 20 months. So there was this 12-month difference in survival, which was striking. Now, as always, whenever we presented the data of the BRIGHT study, it was always flanked with a caveat, you know, limitations of the analysis, non-randomized, cannot set a standard of care, et cetera, et cetera. And I always thought the data were hypothesis generating for such a prospective clinical trial. And in the end, the observational cohort study served their purpose. I mean, we have a treatment principle that is now validated prospectively in a phase 3 setting. And I mean, you can argue about the magnitude of difference of 1.4 months median or a 19% reduction of death events on the study per hazard ratio. But actually, the more intriguing part is that it validates a treatment principle. It puts in question, you know, our ideas about resistance. What is resistance to a VEGF inhibitor? How does this translate to other diseases? I mean, it opens the door to a lot of potential clinical trials, translational studies, et cetera, which we have just scratched the surface of.
Alan?
So I think a couple of things. I think it's not surprising that you'd get a difference in outcomes or a difference in magnitude between a registry, which, of course, the bias of the physician making the choice as opposed to the randomization. I agree with Axel that it did generate a hypothesis, except it also altered the patterns of care. And so there's a paper from the Dana-Farber, actually, at ASCO this year that looked at the uptake of bevacizumab beyond progression at the same temporally, at least, related to the BRIGHT registry publication that showed a real change in behavior. Now, that may actually have been the right thing in anticipation. So, in fact, it may be right to continue Bev. I would go on. The other sort of theoretical question that I raised in my discussion was also what this means for beyond Bev, beyond Bev. In other words, I don't know, but might this mean that you should never stop bevacizumab? Or might this mean that starting with bevacizumab and then stopping for surgery or stopping for hypertension? I mean, do these lead to poorer outcomes? This is just a question I'm asking, but I think this is one of the concerns biologically that it raises.
Yeah, and I guess also we have to put in, this is again going to be theme coming out today, we're not going to spend a lot of time on cost and healthcare costs, but that also is an issue. I kind of wonder, even all the debates in breast cancer with bevacizumab, how those debates would have been different if there was kind of a generic, inexpensive, and all we were looking at was risks and benefits. Rich?
So two comments related to your cost issue. You know, patients were on Bev for a median of 4 months, so that's a fair investment in this. And, you know, as we're looking at our GDP getting to, for healthcare being 21% of the country's GDP, it's hard to ignore these costs. And now in my role as a hospital administrator, I can't ignore them. The other thing you have to wonder is this a form of bevacizumab addiction? You know, we know that there are rebound effects when you stop bevacizumab. Are we getting effectiveness of the drug, or are we preventing the rebound by continuing the drug? And that's a question I'm not sure we'll know how to answer.